Hey, it's Tony Bruschi. If you enjoy this podcast, Real Ghost Stories Online, be sure to check out our other paranormal podcast, The Grave Talks, with new episodes every Monday and Tuesday. Just search The Grave Talks wherever you download podcasts. Now, here's a 15-minute preview of one of this week's episodes of The Grave Talks. Today on The Grave Talks, downloads from the other side, a conversation with Chelsea Gill. What started as a little girl giving an ominous message to her grandmother would evolve into a life of helping others communicate with the deceased or bring notes to them to help them better navigate life. Sometimes these messages would save lives. Other times, these messages would help give closure to a family whose loved one had seemingly vanished. Today, downloads from the other side, a conversation with Chelsea Gill.
Well, oh my goodness, I don't even know where to start. my biggest memory is I've always been sensitive. So I'm a ninth generation psychic medium. And throughout the years, I would spend the weekends at my grandparents if we had off of school the upcoming Monday. And my grandfather passed when I was 6 months old, so I never really got to meet him. And I would always feel like I was being watched while I was at my grandmother's house. And obviously, when you're very little, you know, you don't know what it is. You would always say, you know, mommy, I feel being watched and nobody can see it. And to fast forward to when I was seven, it was Sunday. I spent the night at my grandmother's with my cousin. Come Monday morning, I woke up and I had like a terrible feeling. And I remember seeing things in the house. Like I always have, someone's watching, and it just felt like doom. And I remember looking at my grandmother and it just came out of my mouth and I said, you're going to die. And my grandmother freaked out. We were at the bowling alley for her Monday morning bowling league. She called my mother and she's like, you got to come pick up your daughter. She's telling me I'm going to die. And that feeling just didn't go away. And I would always, like I said, just see shadows. You know, it might be black, it might be white. And it wasn't all the time that I would feel this doomy, but something just wasn't right. And a week later, she got into a horrible car accident and she was in the hospital. And she's still alive today, but that feeling went away. And I stopped seeing the spirits in the sense of when I didn't want to see them. I know that sounds crazy. So that's when it really all started. So my mom kept a dialogue of different things I would feel and see at different locations. And it just, as I got older, I would hear things in my own home to the point of things would move right in front of me. I felt like I was in Matilda. You know, things were just moving across the floor, across the counter. And one of the biggest memories of my home that I actually still reside in, it was a Friday, and it was during lunch because it was Fish Fry Friday, and my girlfriend got off the bus with me. My mom and dad were not home, and we were in my room, and we heard footsteps. And we have a ranch home. It's not two stories, so you're going to hear everything on the first floor. And we heard footsteps, and I felt that same doom-like feeling. So I jumped off my bed from when we were doing homework and I shut the door. And I kid you not, the door flew open and someone was banging on the wall. That we jumped. And within about 5 minutes, my mother came home and my girlfriend's like, I got to go. So she asked her mom to come pick her up. And stuff like that still happens. But I've told them, like, if you really need me, you know, come to me. Don't scare anybody. And that just continues into the adulthood of me going to different paranormal locations as an adult.
And we'll get into all of that as an adult, but I want to take a step back into your childhood where your grandma's at the bowling alley for her Monday morning bowling league. You're sitting there having a Coca-Cola and some nachos, and you go over to Ma or your grandma and go, "You're gonna die." And she says to your mom on the phone, "You gotta come pick up your daughter." How did that conversation go with your mom when you got picked up? Being a ninth generation psychic medium, and you're only seven at the time, how was this? Was it explained to you? How did the conversation go at that moment in time where you said this to grandma? Mom comes and gets you. They probably know something's up, and they're probably really not that surprised that you have this ability. But again, you're seven, so sometimes you can explain that, sometimes you can't. What happened at that point?
My mom kept asking me, "Are you hearing it?" Or is it a sensation? Mm-hmm. And if you're hearing it, is it a male voice? Is it your own voice? Is it a female's voice? But she asked, I call it the nitty gritty question. Mm-hmm. How long have I felt this? And she just kept a journal. So if every day, because we all know the intuition, so your intuition can change daily upon a subject, that every day she would ask me, how do you feel today? And it sounds bad, I felt like I was with a psychiatrist. How do you feel today? Mm-hmm. Same as yesterday. Nothing's changed. And I remember her, she was actually concerned because I guess I was like white as a ghost. Mm-hmm. And I was actually petrified because it felt doomy. And obviously at the age of seven, I didn't know the difference between death and severe bodily injury.
Sure.
And she made sure she asked if the shadows, what color were they? Did I see them in clothing? Did I smell a certain thing? Was it a pipe? You know, certain cigarettes. Did I see the person with a certain alcoholic beverage? Mm-hmm. Because if that might be, say, grandpa, that's giving me a forewarning to protect his wife that's still alive. Mm-hmm. So she tried to figure out if it was a random spirit coming in that shouldn't have been there, or is it someone that's related to me that's trying to get my attention to forewarn? But I remember going home and I said, Mom, I just need to take a nap. Because, like, I still feel it in my body today of how much anxiety I had that morning.
Why do you think you as a child got that warning? And who do you think you got the warning from?
I think me as a child got the warning because at that point my ability is starting to heighten. Mm-hmm. And because you're going into second grade at that time. So you're just getting into school. And I personally think it was a loved one. I think it was my grandfather who was giving me a warning, about the vehicle rather than my grandmother. Mm-hmm. Because it wasn't her she was in the accident, but it wasn't caused by her. Mm-hmm. So I think I should have been able to heed the warning of, don't let her drive. Don't let her get in a car. Maybe we can bypass it.
Okay.
But again, I was too young to adhere to what the message vividly meant. I just felt doomed. Felt like I had the Grim Reaper.
Yeah.
It was awful.
That's always an interesting thing to me. And I'd love to get your take on that. Is who is the vessel of the message? Because sometimes you look at this and you go, Why did they pick a 7-year-old to deliver this message when the sensitivity is there for your mom and for your grandmother? But I would think, you know, just if I were dead, you know, put yourself in the shoes of the spirit, you would almost think, I mean, logic would tell you, you would want to deliver such a message to someone who may be more qualified to give the message because they're more in tune with the ability. They understand what this may mean more clearly, especially when it's, you know, borderline life and death. What, you know, why is that in your case that you think your grandfather made the judgment that you were the one to deliver that? And then more so as a whole, when we hear stories like that from other individuals where it's kind of baffling, why did this person get the message and not that person who may be more qualified or more trusted with what they're saying to an adult?
I think I was given a message to alert my mother that she's ready.
Okay.
To hit the next step in her ability. So I think that in the sense of a family orientation, that was that part of the message.
Okay.
But I think in general, I'll be honest, I don't know why I was chosen because maybe I could have protected my grandmother.
Yeah.
I know my mother, had suppressed it because it scared her.
Okay.
But she got the gut feelings. She had dreams, but nothing that contributed to my grandmother. That was the only one that had any sensation for my grandmother. And I'll be honest, at the age of 7, I was very shocked that I knew it was for my grandmother.
Mm-hmm.
Because when you feel a doom, you don't know, is it me? Is it, you know, you? Is it grandma? And I just knew it was her. I just felt it. I didn't hear any voices. And I know that sounds weird. You just know.
It's like a download.
You just got the sensation.
Yeah. The way I describe that sort of thing is download. Because I think it's the easiest way for all of us to kind of comprehend it.
God.
You know, versus
that is like the best word.
Yeah, it is. I mean, because it's just, you know, you don't need to, you know, the computer knows what the file is, the data's there, but you don't have to read it aloud to, you know, to have it be on the computer. That's kind of how I view some of that stuff, where it's just boom, all the info, it's there. We know it. We don't know how we know it, but it shows up. How did you feel that? I mean, I know I'm asking you to recall things from back when you were 7, but that week between getting that message at the bowling alley with your grandmother and then leading up to the accident, were you anxious all week? Did you think much more of it? Did you move on, as some kids kind of do, from time to time? How did that go for you?
I remember being in that anxiety, overwhelming bubble for that entire week.
Mm-hmm.
That the sensation did not go away. I remember I couldn't really eat anything because I just didn't know when,
mm-hmm.
didn't know how. And it was just the more the anticipation that it was like I had the flu. Like, I just didn't want to go anywhere. I wanted to sleep, stay in bed. And I remember getting a phone call that she was in the hospital, and instantly that anxiety was like, a weight was lifted off my shoulders.
Wow.
It was amazing.
What was the reaction? First, I want to ask about your mother's reaction. Then I want to talk about your grandmother's reaction once she had recovered more to hear what her thoughts were, looking back on this prediction that you made, and then the accident happening. What was your mom's initial reaction when she found out, you know, obviously concerned, you know, oh my God, my mother's been in a horrible accident. But then when she connects it to your, you know, foreboding warning, what was her thoughts there?
I remember my mother getting the phone call, and the first question she asked is, my mother okay? And I remember hearing the nurse on the phone saying, yes, she's okay. We're keeping her for observation, you know, yada, yada, yada. And she hung up the phone and she just looked at me and she goes, that's it. And when I just looked at her, that's when the sensation came off of me. And I said, is Graham okay? What happened? And she just looked at me and she goes, you predicted that. Graham is okay. She goes, I'm ready to rock and roll. And I was like, rock and roll with what? She goes, we are ready to now track everything you see, hear, feel, smell, and touch from here on out. And she goes, they're allowing visitors up until, I think it was 5 o'clock that day, because it was a Saturday. And she goes, let's go up and see how she is for you to know that she's okay, because it's different.
Yeah.
You tell me she's okay, and I felt it, but it would be nice to see her to make sure she is okay.
Yeah.
And my mom, it sounds like she was so proud that I had a premonition for my grandmother, even though I didn't know exact detail, but it was enough to keep an extra eye that my mother was that meddling daughter for my grandmother, poor grandma, to check on her. What's she eating? Is she walking? Is she breathing? You know, and she wasn't even sick. So when we got to the hospital, my grand just looked at me and she's like, oh my God. I was like, well, at least you're okay. But my mom couldn't be more proud.
Yeah.
That whatever I had came to fruition and it was done.
Hope you enjoyed this 15-minute preview of one of this week's two brand new episodes of The Grave Talks. To hear the rest and get new episodes every Monday and Tuesday right in your podcast feed, search The Grave Talks wherever you download podcasts and press subscribe or visit thegravetalks.com.